You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Welcome to Great Touch for a Big Lad, the football podcast that could even make Geordie smile. I'm Dominic Lewis. I'm here in lieu of James Alcott this week. Joined with me is James Irwin, Chelsea fan. How are you, James?
I'm fine, thank you, Dominic.
And Craig, the big shot Beresford from Stoke.
I never called
the big shot.
That's you. I like it though.
It just came to me now.
Yeah.
Stoke fan, obviously.
Yeah.
Trauma at the weekend, but we'll go into that later when we hit the weekend roundup. Lots more for you this week. We've got managerial do's and don'ts. It's a brand new feature that we're going to introduce for this week and this week only. We will be previewing the derby, the biggest derby in West London on Friday night. Of course, Brentford versus QPR. Wow. Love for Words will join us on the show today. Yeah. It'll be great to hear from them.
Looking forward to that.
Hopefully they'll be in a less buoyant mood on Friday than they will be tonight. But tonight, let's go for it. So, guys, that music there we just heard was Being Boring by the Pet Shop Boys.
Yes.
And the question that links from that today, the opening question, is what's the most boring game you've ever been to?
Do you want to start us off?
Well, obviously this is aside from watching the Manchester Derby on the weekend, which was... I was really looking forward to the games on Sunday. It's three what looked like on paper really good games.
There's no reason why, just because it's a clash of giants, of early commerce, it's going to be a good game.
There's no evidence.
It's Super Sunday though, Craig.
I know, it is. Tyler's up. It was that boring when I went to a local pub and got steak pie.
Did you really? Did you?
What, yeah. During the game?
Yeah. Was that shit?
Was it on in the game?
No. I just went.
So I didn't actually watch the game because I was at the Jacksonville Jaguars versus Buffalo Bills live.
Of course you were.
From Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
How was that?
Yeah, phenomenal actually. It was really good fun. But I was just devastated the whole week that I wasn't going to go to watch the Manchester Derby. But it turned out I probably had a good deal.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
You won.
I think you did slightly better off than what we did. I mean, you were in some sort of box which was Royal.
Yes, the Royal Variety. Yeah. Well, not the Royal Variety.
That's a different show.
That's a different show altogether.
I was in
the Royal Box. Yeah, it was pretty special.
Did you meet anyone special?
I met a few lovely cheerleaders and also the best running back that ever lived. But obviously this is a football podcast and we'll leave Thurman out of it for the moment. But the thing is, when I was at the ground, there's a couple of moments when I thought of you guys. They do this thing like in between. Yeah, I know. Tell me about in between plays. They call them downs.
Yeah.
That's what they call them.
I call them throw-ins.
Throw-ins. Yeah. Well, I mean, they've all got different names in different sports, but they have this bit where they put this Pepsi branding on the side, and then they have a party music come on, and all the cheerleaders go mad. And then Craig, you would absolutely hate it. So these guys just come on, bouncing on these massive stilts.
Why?
For no reason whatsoever.
On the pitch,
like pitch side, and they start doing flips backwards.
And they're sponsoring something, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I have a Craig expression. What would you do if that happened at Stoke?
Oh. I said the same thing to the person sitting next to me.
I have to. If Stoke... I don't know. I suppose you're in too deep with your club. I'd probably have to stick with it. But if football ever gets like that, you have to question your support for the sport. It probably will, though.
But I didn't know where to look.
I don't know.
Is it just coming on still? It's bouncing.
I didn't know where to look. Because you had the cheerleaders in front of you.
Look at that.
That's correct, actually. But you also had these bouncing stilt men and then these people firing cannons of T-shirts.
Oh, no! It's like a joke bit from The Simpsons.
You would have absolutely hated it. And on the big screens, it said, wave your flag at that point. And then it had kiss cam.
Right.
It's all good entertainment like for when it went down. But I just thought you boys would absolutely hate it.
Do you know what I really enjoy?
Funny.
We haven't gone anywhere near the question yet.
No, that's
that was
point,
worth
right?
saying because that's really tickled me. That worried me if that happens to our sport.
Let's hope it doesn't go that way.
I've got to say, because of that, it wasn't the most boring game I've ever been to.
Yeah. But the actual game,
itself was quite good. Well, I mean, it was stop-start. I mean, I'm not used to that.
I can't stand that.
It kept going back and forth, and it was quite entertaining. It was nothing like anything I've ever seen before, which was a good experience.
Yeah.
But what about you then, Irwin? What's your most boring game that you've ever been to?
Well, mine was actually one that you accompanied.
Oh, brilliant.
Me too, and it did actually involve your team.
Oh, right, yeah.
So sorry about that.
A little dig.
This was but it was honestly, it was a disgrace. So this was, I think, the start, it was 2 seasons ago. First game of the season.
I think it might be 3 seasons ago.
Dom and I were looking forward to a weekend in Manchester.
You had the jackpot, didn't you, with your respective teams, yeah.
Yeah, jackpot, weekend away, both our teams playing against teams based in the area.
Northwest, yeah.
So it was Chelsea Wigan on the Sunday, which we went to. Wigan, lovely, lovely part of the world, although it had it completely different.
Lovely part of the world. It's been nice, yeah.
Kind of weather system.
Yes.
It was
30 degrees at home, wasn't it? And it was rainy and cold.
Yeah, it was like 5 degrees and it was 30 degrees back home in London.
I imagine they had a different weather system.
It was mental.
2 hours away.
But anyway, on the Saturday, Dom and I, we went to Bury versus Brentford. Yeah. And you think, first game of the season I've been to, absolutely pumped.
Yep.
Get there and it was the worst 0-0 draw I've ever saw. I don't think there was a shot on target.
It was so poor. It was so bad. But, You got to go through those sometimes to get the to get the appreciation for the big ones.
And you know what? It was a point gained.
It was. Didn't matter.
It's away from home.
Yeah, it's always good. The thing is, I always find that despite when it's your club, despite you acknowledging you've witnessed a boring game, you still enjoy it because it's your club.
I didn't enjoy that.
Did you actually know?
Oh, it was so bad.
What about you, Craig?
I don't know why I've said that because I'm going to contradict myself now, because my most boring game ever was when it was Pulis. Pulis had two styles. Raised at Stoke, he had
up and under,
but that worked. It was quite exciting when the up and under got the balls to pacey quick wingers and pacey quick strikers. It was quite ferocious and fast and exciting. His other tactic was don't let them score
at any cost.
So we had the slowest strikers on. Yeah, it bloody worked all the time. And it was Aston Villa on Boxing Day, and he literally just went to the squad, they're not scoring, boys, see you later.
No way.
And it was so dull. It was on telly. It was 5 o'clock on Boxing Day. And I thought I should be home here with family celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was on. I thought it was so bad. That was Pulis's worst.
Brilliant. I mean, I can't beat that. But what I can beat is the temperature at the games, probably. Because mine's not just the most boring, but it was the coldest game I've ever been to.
Really?
The joint coldest.
Yeah.
Along with Accrington Stanley away.
Who were they?
Exactly. It was Fulham versus Ipswich. We got invited along to the game, and it was 0-0. There wasn't a single shot on target, and I think it was probably because all the players were frozen.
Yeah,
it was horrendous. Horrendous game, horrendous day, horrendous clubs.
Yeah. I love that.
I remember my brother went to watch Stoke, ironically Ipswich as well, at Britannia Stadium, and it was that cold, he said. He got a hot dog. Didn't eat it, just held it.
Two hands.
Well,
That's so odd. You've got to hold a cup of tea or a bother or something, don't you?
His words.
Question, did he take it out of the bun? And just hold the sausage?
No, he didn't do that. He kept it in the foil casing, so it...
I mean, buy some soup. You need a hand in that.
Sensible. Just buy some gloves.
In hindsight, I don't know why I've never asked him why to get a cup of tea.
No, maybe we'll just go home if you're really that cold.
Maybe felt that hot dog had more insulation to it. I don't know. I'm no food insulation just expert.
Maybe he got hungry and then decided against it afterwards. Yeah.
Just before we move on very quickly, this song does remind, I think we just said before, this does remind us of New Order.
Yeah. Expecting John Barnes to come in, aren't
they?
Yeah, the rap's coming in a bit.
That's a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway.
80s, wasn't it?
So, moving on, you have a little something to say about FIFA?
I just wanted to check.
You come in so excited to deliver this news.
Well, no, I just wanted to first of all check and make sure that, obviously, I think it's 11 p.m. tonight is the cut-off for putting in your application for the new FIFA presidency.
Is that going back in?
I don't...
Can he go back
in? I don't think he is. No, I don't think he's allowed.
He's not Platini, can he?
Yeah, I think he will, but he is banned by FIFA. I'm not sure how that works.
Good.
But anyway, some other guy who's the secretary, who's the bald guy, who's always there and does the stuff. Gianni Infantino.
The general secretary.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything, does he?
He's going to put his name forward.
What's his
name again?
Gianni Infantino.
I've got a feeling he's evil.
But I wanted to talk about a couple of others. You've obviously got Jerome Champagne, cracking name. Prince Albin Al Hussein.
I mean, you don't like the word bung. You know, bung, and you've got names like Champagne and the Prince.
Yeah,
it's like a collection of some super villains.
It's like a book, isn't it? It's now, like this cartoon story.
You think those names are good?
Go on.
I cannot wait to meet South Africa's.
I'm so excited. Could you drum roll? Could you drum roll? Can you just fill it while I find the drum roll?
Yeah. Go on, Craig. So, yeah, this is the guy from South Africa, so I'm just going to fill some gap here while Craig talks about it. I'll try and find the drum roll. There's another guy who's David Naked from Trinidad and Tobago.
Is this a joke?
He's bearing it all, though, isn't he? Like, there's nothing to hide there with him. Exactly. That's what he's saying.
He's putting it all out there.
He's putting it all out there, nothing to hide.
And Musa Bilaiti as well, who's the Liberian FA president.
Which, of course, is Liberian for cheat.
Yeah. But thief. Obviously, the one that we're waiting for.
Right, got it. Sorry. I might add
this
to that gap.
So this is South Africa's... this is the guy from South Africa who's putting his name forward. Okay. I'm not sure, but his name is... Tokyo Sex Whale.
No way. No, it's not.
I promise you, his name is Tokyo Sex Whale.
No, I want him to win.
Can we do a quick recap of the names again? Just chuck in the surnames. Don't forget, just call the prince for comedy's purpose.
Prince, Naked, Champagne, Blighty, and Sex Whale.
I want Naked Sex Whale. A joint combination. It'd be like the Tories and the Lib Dems all over again.
Jesus
Naked Sex
Christ.
Whale, that's what I want.
I genuinely think, because Blatter's so corrupt and Platini or whatever, they thought, we don't want any competition, we'll rig it, we'll get some fake applicants and they just put these names in. They've submitted them themselves. And then the committee goes, oh, who's this guy? Yeah, he's running for it. And then on the day, he doesn't turn up. Where's Sex Whale?
Where is Sex Whale?
That was well worth it. Your excitement and expectation was justified.
Oh, phenomenal.
I did tell you about it half hour before I got here as well.
Sex Whale.
I can't believe that. I mean, it's very difficult to move on after that, but we have to.
Well, press on.
And we were going to move on now to a weekend roundup where we talk about the best of the weekend's action.
And probably the worst as well.
Lots of derby action this weekend.
Are we going to bother talking about the Manchester derby? Because it was a bit.
See it, so I'd like you to give me a very quick summary of what happened.
Pellegrini admitted that he went there for a draw.
Okay. And what about Van Gaal?
He did a Pulis on him.
He was annoyed that they didn't get a penalty and that people are saying that Rooney was shit. That's about
Is
it.
Is that summing up?
Pretty much.
That's all I missed.
Yeah.
I could have got that in a text. That's incredible.
I watched that was drab. I did watch the Tyne Weir derby.
Okay, how was that?
Great. Newcastle were absolutely battering them.
Yeah.
And then they had a justified penalty given against them, but in my opinion, incorrect card against them.
I agree.
It wasn't
yeah.
a red card, it was a penalty.
Right.
It was still even quite soft. I mean, he made it slightly too obvious, a shoulder
barge. It probably
barge.
Was, though. You'd be
it was a shoulder barge, but yeah. you kind of just... You know it's a bad shoulder barge because he fell over after us as well.
Yeah.
Like he
yeah.
fell into him and just yeah, toppled yeah. over.
You must be absolutely gutted if you're a Newcastle fan.
Oh, they were dominating. Sunderland fans were starting to get a bit anxious. You could tell, you could feel yeah. the vibe. And even after sending off, despite the 3-0 scoreline, I think Newcastle played quite well still.
Yeah.
I think they played themselves well, still had the better chances.
They seem to be leaking goals there, don't they, at the minute?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, Colaccini got sent off, who's their captain yeah. and obviously centre back. But 40 minutes in, they looked very good, actually.
They did, they really, really
they some,
neat.
They got some all right players.
So you think they're going to be yeah. fine?
No.
Do you know?
No.
Leaking too much.
I think so.
I've not seen Newcastle season. It's difficult to say if that was a normal performance, but I think if that's how they generally play, they should be okay.
Well,
I don't know.
They're still both those sides are in the bottom three, but only a couple of points behind Chelsea, of
yeah.
course.
This is
my boys. What's probably happening?
Well, I think we've been talking about over the last since the whole season, actually, yeah. haven't we? How poorly we've been performing, and it's...
I don't get it.
It is so strange.
Something shit has gone now.
Yeah, we were talking about this before, and you know, there's plenty of excuses out there, and it's kind of, a lot of it's inexcusable. We did improve, actually, a little bit over West Ham, and
yeah.
We played Dynamo Kiev in the week and actually looked a lot better,
yeah.
still without scoring and creating too many chances, but it looked a little bit better.
I mean, you could argue losing to West Ham, if you were flying, is not the worst result in the world. Well, yeah. It's bad, but it's not like, okay, they've lost to West Ham away. It's difficult.
I think there's 2 points. I honestly think that half the team look unfit and look uninterested.
Who's your back four?
Terry, Cahill, Zuma played right back, and Azpilicueta.
Right.
Sexwell playing for you.
Sexwell was not playing. I wish he had, because Matic was playing instead and stupidly got himself sent off. But I also think we're just not... I'll probably always say this, but like the rub of the decisions, the Fabregas offside was probably was touch and go.
It's bound to be like that. If you have a big side who's struggling, there must be some sort of element of luck going wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't have that squad.
I think so. But yeah, I mean, they're just not playing well enough at all. And it's...
do you want Mourinho still?
Yeah, who are you going to bring in?
Sexwell?
I think one string of results and you're back in it, really. You're back up the table in challenging for Europe.
We're playing Liverpool on Saturday, 12:45. Massive game, and it's like always is against Liverpool, but even more so.
BT Sport. No one's going to watch it then.
No one's going to watch it.
I'm going, so that's fine.
You're all right, yeah.
But 12:45 kickoff, but it's such a huge game because if Chelsea lose, he's probably gone.
That is bizarre. I reckon he's going probably into season, gone. He had the longest odds, or shortest, I don't know, betting works, man.
Yeah.
To go. Which one is it, longest or shortest?
He had the shortest. The longest odds to go. Yeah.
What the longest? It's so weird.
But on the other hand, if Chelsea win, they go above Liverpool, and then Liverpool back in crisis again, even though Klopp's only been there for a few weeks.
And they had a good start to the game against Southampton. Apparently they had a better side for most of it.
Yeah.
And then they scored with Benteke, and a last minute goal, wasn't it? From Mane.
Yeah.
Mane.
I didn't watch the second half. It wasn't the most interesting of games, and I caught the last 5 minutes or so.
Boring Sunday, wasn't it?
The first game was all right. It's just always
Bournemouth, Tottenham.
Yeah, they should put that one on.
They should have put that one on
instead of the Manchester derby.
Yeah,
definitely. I think we all agree that.
Yeah.
So what about Stoke, Craig?
Well, to be honest, I think the best way to approach Stoke's defeat is for you to chat about Watford's strengths, because that sums up the game.
Really?
You've said this several times before.
Well, I mean, from the Championship last season, they have got pace. They're also exceptional, yeah. And I noticed that Abdi scored, and Abdi hasn't been a player who's been playing that much this season.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of the season, he was one of mine to look out for, because he created so many chances in the league below. And behind the strikers, he's a very, very talented player.
Yeah.
I think
they're really impressive.
Oh yeah, Odinogalo being potent up front. Deeney is good just behind him generally.
Yeah.
And as you say, they've got a little bit of pace and they've added to it as well. They've got some depth as well. They've got some players from Holland, which they have on the bench. Their Berghoy is a good talented player.
They looked really good against Arsenal for 50 minutes and just got tired, I think.
Yeah.
But they play extremely well and then just fell apart.
I wonder if they're good enough at the back. That's my thing.
Probably not, but I think against, you know, I suppose at least a third of the league, they're going to really give them a good game.
Yeah.
They were one of the best. I mean, I'm a really sore loser, as you guys know.
I know, yeah.
I really know. But I well and truly held my hands up after that. They were so much better than us.
Really?
We were shit. They were really
so easier to take than the West Brom game. You still upset about that one?
Yeah, still
that one. So how long is it going to take you to get over this one? Or are you almost there?
I moved on quite quick. Purely what really took the sting away was the fact we beat Swansea on Monday, which we needed.
Yeah.
The sting away. I've still not seen us win the league. It's nearly November.
I don't know.
I've seen us win the cup, Luton and Fulham away. I've not seen us win the league.
I haven't. Oh no, I have. One game.
It's annoying, isn't it?
Well, you've got none.
But yeah, I suppose I'm going to put it out there. But well done, Watford.
Yeah, well done, Watford.
Very gracious of you. Thanks. So I mean, that was obviously a really bad result for Stoke. Another team had a really bad result. Aston Villa.
Ooh. Yeah. So what was it? They lost to Swansea 2-1. They went 1-0 up as
Swansea
well, didn't they?
Bad in build form as well.
I think wasn't that Villa's sixth loss in a row or something like that? It was something stupid. But I think even Chelsea beat them the week before. I mean, there must be something going wrong at Villa if that can happen.
Ayew scored for both teams, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Anything Ayew can do?
Yeah, Ayew can do better.
Yeah.
Is that his brother or cousin?
We'll say it's his brother.
Okay,
yeah,
it's his brother
for the moment. We'll say it's his brother.
They both scored the same game in the French league last season as well.
Did they? Good fact. Nah, it's good.
Match of the day.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. I didn't know that, so thanks so much. Didn't watch.
I tell you, it was amazing. You could see, we've all been there, our clubs went, you know, when you're that desperate for a win and you've almost got it, you could see the despair on the Villa fans' faces. You know, that absolute pit of despair.
Yeah.
When they even equalised. They equalised like 5 minutes after. When Villa scored, it was such a relief. You could feel it. And when Swansea scored the equaliser and then the winner, just, I love watching the Villa fans' faces. We've all been there. It's like,
I know.
Oh, God.
I tell you what, someone's face who's going to be even more so in that vein is Tim Sherwood.
Yeah.
Goner.
I mean, I think Craig called it a few weeks
did
ago.
Did actually, Craig?
I'm doing all right, yeah. I've called three managers. Well, kind of, yeah, three managers I thought would go early on. Rodgers, Sherwood and Ranieri, which I'm getting wrong at the moment. I'm going to stick by my guns now.
Couldn't get that any more wrong, actually.
Not at the moment.
Do you think he might go by the end of the season?
I thought that at the start of the season. I mean, obviously it's not looking out at the moment, but you never know.
They're doing all right as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Just touching on Leicester. Vardy is on fire.
Yeah. I saw, it's probably absolute bollocks, but I saw a transfer linked to Real Madrid.
What, with Vardy?
On Facebook. Newsfeed, probably bullshit.
Yeah, just another quick stat. He's only the seventh player to score in seven consecutive Premier League games.
Really?
Yes. Wow.
It's almost as good as Muller's 9-9.
That's good. But yeah, so Sherwood has bitten the dust.
I don't think he should have been there in the first place. But this was my big point last season.
But he did well last season. He kept them up. He got them to the FA Cup.
No, I don't think he should have been the Villa job in the first place.
I'm just upset my prediction didn't come true that he's going to headbutt someone.
He still might. Maybe he has done.
He might get another gig some point soon.
Yeah. And that's something that you don't do in football, isn't it?
Yeah.
But another thing you don't do in football is wear a gilet.
Yeah, that's true.
This has been a common occurrence, hasn't it?
It kind of, it makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it makes you think, what are the managerial do's and don'ts?
There's so many of them. So I think what we're going to do is maybe talk about a few of the funny ones, a few of the ridiculous ones, but also some serious ones, because, you know, you need to have a good balance in there, certainly. So I think we've already established, and this is one that we always talk about as well, is attire. I think what you wear, it says a lot about your kind of your manner, your kind of experience to an extent, but also just make sure you don't look like a twat.
Yeah.
Well, who was it? Jay laid into Pulis, didn't he?
What, for his hat?
He says he looks like a chav.
He does. It looks.
Are we saying this about Klopp as well then? Must be.
He's German, isn't he?
Is that right?
Yeah, it's fine.
He's got a slightly nicer hat and a slightly nicer face.
kind of
but he can look angry though, can't he?
He can.
From time to time.
You can look angry.
What would you guys wear? Suit or tracky?
I think you need to look.
It's got
to
be suit, I think, really.
You've got to have a nice suit.
I would wear a tracksuit.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you?
I'd wear a tracksuit.
Would you then tuck your socks into the tracksuit? Like, would you have football socks on?
Well, I would. I'd wear a tracksuit if I was on the touchline. But if I was to go into the stands, then I'd wear a suit.
Right.
You see what I mean by that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would make it a bit more posh. I'll tell you what, though. We talk about do's and don'ts. My don't is Paul Tisdale at Exeter and, to a lesser extent, Andy Scott at Brentford. The first time they got into the dugout, they dressed up to the nines, like little pocket squares. And,
no, you're on that.
And when the moment you do that, and you have a little bit of piping on your suit. But the moment you do that, you've got to live up to that for every single game. And then you get a name for yourself. And then it's like, oh, Paul Tisdale dressed as well.
Yeah.
And he can't go to Sainsbury's now wearing a balaclava.
This is another one of the do's and don'ts. It's kind of the right level of arrogance. Is you need like that level of confidence.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be going out wearing pocket squares.
No.
I'll tell you who has got a funny tie is Mourinho. He can rock the tracksuit, but then he can also do the suit. The casual suit.
And he always, I know it's kind of obvious, but in the winter, the same with Arsene Wenger, has his massive sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Kind of thing on. But Wenger, he does a bit of both as well, actually, doesn't he?
He likes to.
Not men and women, I mean, tracksuit and suit.
No.
But yeah, I think the attire goes a long way. And I think, do look good. Don't look like a chav.
That's a great way of putting it. Craig, have you got anything on that?
Well, you know what I'm going to do here, because I liked this, I think Jay Orcott liked it as well, I'm going to read a few from Twitter.
Great.
I pulled this question out and a few people got in contact with us. And Joshua Cook.
Cookie.
He tweeted in and quite simply put, being Tim Sherwood. And I thought that was harsh but funny.
That is harsh.
Got to agree with that.
Michael Davis, and these are great. He says, Spanish correspondents for our podcast, no baseball caps.
Sure.
Yep.
Then he said, sorry, Pulis. And then this is a great one. He says, as a manager, you should never use players' nicknames in the media. Alan McLaren with England, JT Stevie Wazza.
I kind of agree with that.
Just really use surnames. Just go with surnames.
That's really good. And we got another one on Facebook, actually, from Nick Merchant. Again, went for the humorous approach. He says, football don'ts in football management, be the manager of Leeds United.
Yes, absolutely spot on.
It is a death sentence, isn't it?
It's a merry-go-round.
Why do you take it on?
It's tempting because it's Leeds. They are a big club. Yeah. It's the sort of club, they're at a level where...
We're a big club.
Well, yeah, perhaps, but they still are.
They've got a big fan base.
For me, if you're a manager that's aspiring for the football leagues, that is as close as you're ever going to be, potentially, to a... Let's be honest, a big club still. Evans would never get a job.
It's
like
a poison chalice job, though, because of the ownership. Like, no one knows what's going on.
I can see the temptation. It is literally defines the poison chalice of football.
How many managers have they had since July 2014?
26 or something?
Six. That's
still
a lot in a year.
That is incredible. And the thing is, they're good managers as well. Some of them have.
Should we... A few serious ones.
Yeah.
I think... Do you want to do all city ones?
Well, I was just going to say, are we on do's or don'ts still?
I think it's a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Because I have one which is kind of two.
So you got two, yeah?
Well, kind of goes both ways.
Okay. Oh, like
Arsene Wenger.
Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, with his suits and his track suits. Yeah. Do develop a youth team.
Yes.
I mean, that's extremely important.
Have you ever heard the cliche when a manager comes in and... You've heard it in the media a few times. Oh, he came in and completely got rid of the youth structure.
How'd you do that?
I've heard that Benitez did it at Liverpool.
Just went in, bombed it.
Yeah, he just blew it up. But I've heard that a few times in autobiographies. Oh, the manager came in and just ripped out the heart of the youth structure.
Under 18, you're out.
Yeah, fuck them off.
Yeah, see you later.
They just sat the manager and they know what they're doing.
That's a very shout, yeah.
The other one...
Fans love that as well. Yeah. Fans like to hear that, don't they?
And they like to see a couple of youth team players come through and just chucked in every once in a while. See one progress.
Yeah.
And you don't see it too much at Chelsea. There's been one or two. My other one that I said, which goes both ways, is be passionate. But be passionate like a Klopp.
Yeah, and, not like
and,
a Sherwood.
And kind of... And, yeah, a Sherwood's, and the other one I went with was the Canio.
Right, yeah, he's going too far.
Goes a little bit too far and might get a little bit racist at times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what you don't want to be doing.
Yeah.
But I think that's so important for the fans to see the passion and that you really care and, you know, celebrate a goal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like seeing managers just stone-faced.
Yeah.
It's a bit dull.
Yeah.
Get involved.
Lee Carsey's a bit like that, Brentford, to be honest.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, I love it. It's great.
I've got some do's from Michael Davis as well.
Yeah.
Another tweeting we've got here. I like this. He says, be fashionable. Jose's coat, Pep's jumpers.
Yeah.
Well, Pep is very fashionable.
Yeah.
Paul Tisdale's cravats.
It's weird. He's also put on his football do list. If you want to explain Michael Davis stuff a little bit further, he says, always blame everyone but yourself.
No, blame everyone but your team.
That's what he's put. Always blame everyone but yourself. Not morally right, but they all seem to do it. So is he saying you should do that?
Yeah.
Is that? Is it? Well, he's saying it's not morally right, but they all seem to do it.
The fans are to blame today.
Yeah.
Don't do a Jose.
You know what? It's ironic because the fans at the Stoke Watford game the weekend were awful. We were shit. We didn't make a peep. We were absolutely crap. And I would have almost liked Hughes to come out and say the fans need more of the fans. Yeah. The fans always roll out when we pay our money, which is bullshit.
You get bite back. Like Rosler said that away at Bristol City. He said, "Oh, the Bristol City fans were excellent at supporting their team," and he just lost it from there. Like they
did he?
Yeah,
Jose did it, didn't he?
What you needed on the weekend was probably Delia Smith, I reckon, to rile up.
Yeah, that's the sort of person you need in the stands.
The fans at half time. Yeah, it's a chairman do and don't.
Yeah.
So that's managerial do's and don'ts.
That's great.
As we all know, there's a big derby game coming up.
Stoke Chelsea.
That is tomorrow. That is massive. That's the biggest game of the week. But in second place, QPR Brentford.
Oh,
it's been a long time, hasn't it, Dom?
All the way around, though. Is it
Brentford
QPR?
It's at Brentford. Yes, 10 years.
Ten years. It's been that long.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
And we thought we'd get, because Jay's not here. Of course, he's skateboarding in Hong Kong.
He's running scared
on his skateboard.
He wants to be as far away as possible.
So we thought we'd tip the balance a bit. We get a bit of a QPR perspective. So we've got Clive Whittingham, the editor of the QPR fan site Loft for Words. Are you there, Clive?
Yeah, I am here, lads.
Hi, mate.
Nice to speak to you. How are you all doing?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate.
We're okay. How are you?
Yeah. All good.
How's the Bristol City Cardiff game looking? I believe you're watching it.
I am. It's sort of like the footballing equivalent of the Ebola virus at the moment, but it will hopefully improve.
There's still a half to go,
but they're playing it cagey, let's put it that way.
Okay, yeah. So, first of all, thanks for coming on, Clive, this evening. It's really good of you. And, of course, there's usually four of us here, and the fourth member's a QPR fan. And we want to chat about the Derby game today, but unfortunately James Allcott's not here, so we thought we wanted to get a bit of balance in the show. We wanted QPR, Brentford. The Derby game, how long has it been since you last played Brentford?
Yeah, James cries off our Thursday football quite often as well.
Of course he does, yeah, does it? That's interesting.
He's got a new hobby, skateboarding.
Yeah, he loves his skateboard.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. It's been about 10 years. I think it's like 2003, 2004 since we last played him. And back then, I mean, QPR were really motoring. We had Ian Holloway, and he'd got the sort of club out of administration, and you know we'd really hit the ground running under him, and there was a lot of pride around. There was a lot of QPR fans in the team, and they sort of knew the importance of going into games like that and giving a good account of themselves. So I don't think we lost to Brentford across those two or three seasons that we played them.
I don't think we've beaten you for. Well, since the 60s, I think. It's quite long.
Are you serious?
I think so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apart from pre-season friendlies, there's been so few meetings between the two.
There was that little spell there,
but we had a really good team for the level we were at back then.
I remember. I mean, it's funny because it's a little bit like Newcastle Sunderland. Obviously, Brentford's the bigger club, but yeah, QPR tend to always win the fixture, don't they?
Yeah, it's an odd thing being in West London, because obviously we, you know, the QPR fans see Chelsea as their main rivals, but Chelsea absolutely just do not care about us whatsoever.
Possibly because
most of the Chelsea fans that are around now weren't around more than 10 years ago when QPR Chelsea was actually a rivalry. So, you know, it might be something to do with that. But the Brentford fans really don't seem to like us. You know, because back in history, I think the QPR chairman tried to merge the clubs and things like that. And we've nicked a couple of players.
I think it's a combination.
Martin Rowlands and things.
Yeah, so. I mean, Martin Rowlands is a big one. I think the older fans remember, I think it was 67, the year you won the League Cup, I think, was when you tried to take the Griffin Park and take the club.
Yeah.
And I think a few of those guys who are that age felt that the rivalry between QPR and Brentford was the big one. When you get a little bit younger, it was Fulham, and then the people from my age group, they tend to think QPR is the big rivalry because of the Martin Rowland saga back in the early 2000s.
I think
if we play more fixtures, then it would probably grow up on both sides.
Yes, yeah.
You know, we're going to get there on Friday and see the strength of feeling, and it could, you know, if it's going to be a few league fixtures, then it will grow up again. But at the moment, you know, it's the same when we go to Fulham. They absolutely hate us, but the QPR fans are a bit sort of nonplussed by it all. With, you know, there's a lot of history of QPR fans, you know, going down to watch Brentford on the Saturdays when we have away games and stuff like that. So it doesn't really fit. But I think if we play a few games over the next couple of years, which it looks like we're probably going to, then it'll all grow up again.
If you had to rank, Clive, your main rivals, give me your top three in your opinion, and maybe the general consensus of QPR fans. Who would you rank as your top three rivals?
At QPR, it will always be Chelsea, whatever they think. And, you know, however deluded it makes us look, it's always, you know, it will always be Chelsea as our main rivals. And then it seems that we sort of drift between them depending on who we're playing. I remember that time when we were playing Brentford in League One or the Second Division as it was then. Like we ended up with a real rivalry with Luton because when they went into admin, we went. I mean, apart from the fact that going to Luton is one of the worst things that you can.
I experienced it early in the year in the League Cup, Clive. Yeah. It's a shithole. It's horrible. It's not nice, is it?
Yeah, and they, you know, we nicked a couple of their players from them when they were in administration. We got Tony Thorpe.
Yeah.
You know, and they really got on at us about that. So we had this thing with Luton for a while. We had a thing with Stoke for a while, actually, just through various incidents.
There was Jerry Taggart and, was it Bertram, had a little scrap on the pitch, didn't they?
Jerry Taggart did a footballer headbutt on him. And Bertram went down like he'd been sort of knifed in the forehead or something.
I suppose you would be if Taggart had done that, to be fair. He's a bit brutal. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it was a footballer headbutt. But so he got sent off, and we won the game 1-0. And afterwards, we're on the bus back to the station. They tried to tip it over in the car park, so that was a bit like
that was me. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I was just a little bit wound up that day.
Yeah, that was a bit lively. And then there was the one where they came on and attacked the goalkeeper, Simon Royce, after the game. So
you're not playing a very good image of us at all here.
Yeah, that was Craig as well. Craig hadn't had his bob rule that day.
That
like.
Was me as well, yeah.
Okay.
As far as rivalries go, if you ask me for a top three, I can probably give you probably Reading's the other one, just
really?
Because of the whole, you know, Nick's our nickname.
Yeah, they are.
James Allcott's got that kind of perspective as well. I've heard him slag Reading off a few times. And Crystal Palace.
I thought
well.
They were the initial R's. I thought
they are the real ours,
the real ours, yeah.
Now they're the Royals or the Biscuit Men, I think.
Yeah, the Biscuit Men. So yeah, that's interesting. And I thought, like, I spoke to a Watford fan, and he had QPR in their top three. Is there anything there or not really?
No, not to mind it. Maybe we're just really lacking self awareness.
Who else would it be for?
All hate us, and we're like. Oh, I quite like Watford.
Watford's a difficult one, though, because it's just kind of... Like,
Luton.
Yeah, which is nothing really aside from Luton.
Surely.
Yeah,
they're another club that had a massive rival in Luton and lost it because Luton disses. So when you lose, you right, like we had a massive rivalry with Chelsea and lost it, you have to go looking for other sort of nonsense rivalries, really.
From my perspective, I suppose, away from West London, I live in West London now, but I'm obviously from the North originally. From my perspective, if you had to ask me, what is the West London derby... Completely excluding myself from the area, I probably will go QPR, Chelsea. Sorry, Dom.
I think most people over the last 10 years
would say it was Fulham and Chelsea.
Yeah, you could argue that.
That one's quite soft as well.
To Sky and the Premier League, you know, that's what they see. I remember when QPR beat Chelsea, we got back in the Premier League and one of Warnock's first games up there. We beat Chelsea at home and the atmosphere was just something else.
Is that
and
when they had nine men?
Yeah.
Well, Chelsea were completely taken aback from it and just sort of lost their shit in the first half. Got two men sent off. John Terry obviously ended his England career with an incident later in that game. There was an incident where Wan-Mata refused to take a corner down at the loft end. He basically just said, "I'm not going over there," to the referee, and he had, "You've got to do something about it." To which he was told, "Well, you're going to have to take it." So, coincidentally, 2 minutes after that, he pulled his hamstring and went off. Which, like I say, I'm
love
sure
it when you do that to opposition players. We did it too with Danny Rose.
You did it personally, didn't you?
I attacked him again. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
they went back to the studio afterwards, and Jamie Redknapp. Not that I put too much, or in fact, any stock in anything Jamie Redknapp has ever said, but he said, "I didn't even realise it was a derby." You know, and
seriously.
I think because. Yeah, but that's the effect of Sky and the Premier League. QPR hadn't been in the Premier League for 15 years, so nobody realised.
Yeah.
So what do you... We've obviously spoken about that a little bit. Give us your score prediction for this Friday.
Preface with the fact that my predictions are notoriously awful. I optimistic prediction of a draw.
Ooh.
Draw. Score draw or... A ball draw.
Yeah, until this week, we don't keep clean sheets, so probably a score draw, but we have managed to stop conceding goals at such a frightening rate. So a score draw, a low score draw.
And Dom, what's your prediction?
Well, we've started to find our feet recently. We've had a really poor few games under Lee Carsley, and then the last three, I mean, the one I was at on Saturday against Charlton, that was as good as we played under Warburton, I think. I mean, maybe that's slight exaggeration, but it was up that standard. I'm really confident.
I'm going into it thinking
Alan Judge is absolutely on fire. I'd go 3-1 to the Bees. And you've got Ryan Woods from Shrewsbury, who's just been absolutely phenomenal. We just stumbled across him as well. It's hard to believe he's not Scholes. He's absolutely incredible. I'm buoyant now, but obviously it's easy to be buoyant on the back of three wins and things can turn. And we are definitely frail at the back, and we will concede. Especially because there's a lot of firepower in that QPR team, with especially Phillips and Sherry. Is it Sherry?
Sherry's a decent player. He's not as involved as much as I'd like him. I mean, I think if I was a Brentford fan, I'd probably be a bit confident, because you've obviously started to play a bit. I want to Brentford Chef Wednesday, which actually was the day that the previous manager got the sack. But I thought you were unlucky to lose that game. And you say, Judge's playing well, and Judge's playing well in a position that we struggle with because both of our fullbacks are poor. So if he gets going at us, then we've got a problem. But QPR's record in London derbies over the past few years is so embarrassing. It's, you know, we just absolutely dread it. We prefer to go 250 miles up north out of the way.
Although they say that, except against us.
Recently, our Premier League years, the 3 years we've just had in the Premier League, we had 27 games against London teams. We lost 18 and drew 4 of them. We conceded 45 goals in the process.
Wow.
That includes a 6-0 at Fulham, a 6-1 at Chelsea. The last three times we've been to Fulham, we've been 3-0 down at half-time. 3-0 down at half-time at Palace in April. We just, that little extra bit of intensity that comes with London derbies.
I'm getting more confident now.
For our players.
I might stick a tenner on that now.
I think
I probably set myself up for a fall by saying that I'm so confident. It's just the way that life works. But I really think it's overdue as well. And I think I'll be absolutely over the moon if it happened. But we'll see. Yeah. I mean, it'd be quite tight.
The thing that, I don't know if it counts in our favour or not, we'll see, but it's a massive, massive game for our head coach because there's a lot of people against him at QPR now.
Yeah.
You know, the crowd are properly turning on him.
I like Chris Ramsey.
I think he speaks very well whenever I've heard him, but I suppose there's only so far that will take you. I remember thinking Chris Kamara spoke well at Stoke when he first turned up, but I went, chit chat.
Yeah, and didn't get done by Birmingham 7-0 or something.
We did indeed, that's the season we sold Mike Shearing to you as well. I believe he's a legend down at Loftus Road, isn't he, Mike Shearing?
Yeah, we should have brought him back with a receipt, I think. it's a massive game for him, and I think you'll see, you know, whether the players are with him or against, if they put in a performance and we get a result in this, it might turn it around for him a little bit, because there's been improvements in the last two games. We've stopped conceding goals. You know, there's signs of improvement there. If we can get a result here, then it starts to turn people around. It buys him some time. If we happen to fall in a hole again in a London derby on Friday night, he'd probably get the sack on Saturday. The mood around the place. So you'll find if the players are with him or against him on Friday. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for talking us through your predictions and feelings on the derby. It's Friday night on telly, isn't it?
It's on Sky. Are you going, mate?
Yeah, of course. It's a disease, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a disease. Well, I'll be there from midday, I think, getting warmed up. So if you fancy a pint, just drop us a little message and we'll get that arranged.
Yeah.
Well, I think from Craig and I, we'll say good luck to both teams.
Yeah.
Before you go, Clive, what we want to do and what we do this with most guests on the show is give them their chance to rant about something that in the world of football is kind of annoys them, whether it would be the cost of football or something about FIFA. So we want to give you 30 seconds to rant about anything football related.
How's that sound?
Sounds interesting.
So what I'll do is when your time's up, Clive, you will get no warning. You will just hear an air horn, and that is it.
And then, you must stop speaking then.
You must stop speaking.
Can't stress that enough.
Yeah, that is it. Okay. So on my count, you can go, okay? So 3, 2, 1, go.
Short-termism in football, particularly among football fans. We had an incident on Saturday, obviously, where we're booing and heckling our own players. You're meant to be there to support the team, however badly it's going. It strikes me that we're a lot quicker for a lot fewer reasons to get on players' backs, to get on managers' backs. I blame Sky Sports News personally. They've got 24 hours to fill, haven't they? So there's always somebody getting the sack. Someone's always under pressure. But you know, you're meant to be there to help. And however much you hate the manager, or hate the player.
There we go.
That was good. Yeah.
That's a really good subject matter, and I completely agree.
I couldn't agree more on that.
I agree with the Sky Sports kind of reasoning as well. I'm
never getting a job there, am I?
After that.
Yeah. They have short-termism. It's just the same thing every hour.
That was great. Thanks for coming on, Clive.
Really appreciate that.
And any QPR fans listening, they should check out the Laugh for Words site. Jay's always banging on about it. Some good stuff on there. And I don't know how to say this because Dom's here, but best of luck to you on Friday, kind of, but not because Dom's here.
So you may say the best man win?
Yeah, well, we'll say that. That sums up all angles, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, best of luck to Chris Ramsey, I think, because he's going to need it.
Yeah, cool. Okay, cheers, Clive. Thanks,
guys.
Cheers,
lads.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye.
Offside!
Nah, left back's playing him on.
So, Dom, I'm going to hand you the phone, which has the story on it. If you'd like to read this week.
For new listeners, this is our non-related football chat.
1 in 10 vegetarian sausages contains meat.
Scandal.
It's Seems a bit high. And some have human DNA.
That's good, isn't it?
Human DNA.
Well, then I think human DNA is actually quite similar to...
But what is that? Is this that someone's touched it?
Which would happen.
Vegetarians are probably feeling pretty smug today.
Why?
Why smug?
What with the World Health Organization's report about bacon causing cancer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they're not feeling smug about that.
It's all processed meats, isn't it, apparently?
And sausages as well.
Yeah, it's cancer. But 1 in 10 sausages, vegetarian sausages, apparently has meat in.
Rob Waugh from the metro.co.uk obviously has a very poor opinion of vegetarians. if he thinks they're going to be smug about someone getting cancer.
Yeah.
Not so fast. It turns out that rather a lot of vegetarian hot dogs have something problematic, inverted rabbit ears, in them, according to Food Lab Clear Foods.
This is well written, this is.
I know. By which they mean meat.
Yeah.
1 in 10 hot dogs have meat in them, including chicken and breakfast sausages, and a vegetarian hot dog containing pork.
I've always wondered this, when you talk about like vegetarian like options versus the obvious sausages, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real deal. I've always wondered how, you know, the fact that there must be something in it that isn't...
It's going to be flavouring. I suppose you can create flavouring any way you want, can't you?
But also, they make them so cheaply, they probably just chuck a little bit of meat because it ends up being cheaper anyway.
And the foreman's not looking.
I don't know. I always just think, there's bound to be a little bit of meat in there. The other stuff as well is when you can't prepare the meat next to the vegetables and people ask for that.
Yeah.
But they can't actually see it, so they probably just do it all together at the same place.
Of course they do.
Well, I think the whole thing's probably a farce, and it's not necessarily 1 in 10 vegetarian hot dogs. The sample is probably very small, and I think it wasn't representative of the hot dogs in the supermarkets today.
Do you work for the World Health Organization?
I do, yeah. Well, I don't know. I work for Arsenal. But
that's true. Same thing.
Yeah, similar.
Offside!
No,
left-back's playing them on.
Wow. Well, there you go. I mean, you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vegetarians are smug. And they want people to get cancer. And that's what we've taken out of that.
But 1 in 10 of them are also eating meat.
Yeah, so they're also in turn...
So now we're smug?
Going down. We're smug and they're smug. We're all smug bastards.
Yeah.
So what a show today. I really enjoyed that, actually.
Enjoyed that.
Was very good.
I think we covered...
What was your highlight, Dom?
I think my getting courage for the game on Friday, just gradually throughout that interview. That was pretty enjoyable. But I think generally... it was good to reflect on the weeks that's gone by, and I quite enjoyed talking about Tim Sherwood's attire and all the what's wrong with football in terms of dress as well. So.
I enjoyed Sex Whales.
Yes.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Tokyo Sex Whale. I mean, it sounds like an animal, doesn't it? A very randy animal.
Well, I know we're all going to go away and write our application after this and
send
it off.
But
when we do vote, I will be voting for him.
Sex Whale?
Yeah, big time.
I like the image of this kind of evil geniuses gathering to apply for the FIFA job of all these names. That's funny.
If you're applying for the job, let us know. You've got 2 hours to do so, but let us know on at GT4ABL. We're also available on iTunes. Just tap in Great Touch for a Big Lad and you'll find us right there.
Subscribe to it. Download it automatically each week.
Absolutely. Or alternatively, you can go on our website, which is
www.greattouch.co.uk.
Yeah! You can get us on YouTube.
We're on Facebook. We're on Facebook as well, aren't we?
And you can get us also through our partners, Last Word on Sport.
Sports, honestly.
But that's been great. It's been great to have you with us at home.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week when James Alcott returns to the throne.
He's not back next week.
He's got 2 weeks skateboarding.
He's got 2 weeks off. Got that completely wrong. But we'll know next week what the score will be in the Derby game. So stay tuned for that. And have a bloody good week. And may your team, unless it's QPR, win.
Here's the Pet Shop Boys.
You're tuned in to Last Word Radio. Last Word on sports.com. And that is the last word.